I'm Van.
I'm sorry.
That's Booby.
Oh. And where's Vita Booby? And Chip. Booby's up in the tree, but I don't know where. Why Rocky's not on.
All right. This is a Patreon pick.
Mm-hmm.
I keep saying it, but the Patreon picks are working exactly the way that they should.
Mm-hmm.
Which is bands that would generally never get a hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm pretty certain, first of all, I've never heard of this band before in my life, and they don't speak English. So, I mean, of course, we've done Rammstein. They don't speak English, but it's
Batushka
different.
Batushka,
yeah, it's true. There's a couple bands where it's like, okay, but yeah, it's a good point. But I definitely don't think we would ever heard of this band. This is Arcana, and the name of this song is, what's the name of this song again? Pushtish Dereven.
Arcana, I like that.
I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it properly. So this was, I think, according to Damon Sage, the last pagan village,
mm-hmm.
I guess, that fell before the Crusades.
Yeah, it seemed like it was like a castle. That's what I thought you said.
Is the Trello thing still up? No? So these guys, what did he say?
I thought he said it was a castle.
The last pagan Slavic city castle destroyed in 1168 by the crusade led by Bishop Absalon and King Vladimir the Great of Denmark. It was located on Rugia Island in the Baltic Sea, now in Germany. So there go our ancestors again.
The band is from Russia, and this is the fourth track from their seventh full-length record. Whoa, they've done seven of them.
Yeah. So here goes our ancestors again.
Oh, gosh. I'm so proud.
Yeah.
The genre is pagan folk metal.
Here we go. If you want a Middle America, did you order a Sorry Secret hoodie yet?
No. I should.
If you order a large, you'll have way more than enough space.
Yeah, I don't want more than enough. I want cozy, but I don't want ridiculous.
Oh.
So I think I'm going to go for a medium. I've already, like, been thinking about it.
I've been hanging out in this thing for a couple days.
And I know.
I actually really like it.
And it doesn't smell. I don't know how you're accomplishing
that. Yeah, it's definitely my go-to hoodie right now. So if you want one, check it out. It's at the bottom of the thingamajig. If you want to check out the other channel, it's Middle America with Vin and Sori. That's where you get the fireside chats and all that stuff. And then her channel is
My Sori Life. You can see the kid. I just put up a video about the kids chying the second half of the candy from UK.
Pain and suffering. All right, let's do it. Let's hear about our ancestors destroying more people's lives.
And go.
Thank you.
There was a lot of deep pain that you could hear in the song. What was it singing about?
Well, I'm pretty sure that the name of the song probably translates to Empty Villages Call.
What? Empty Villages Call?
Empty Villages Call, yeah.
Okay.
Because it's the first two stanzas start with that, and then that's basically the chorus.
Okay.
So, I'm pretty sure that that's the name. And then it's talking about, Empty Village's call peers into my soul with silent blazing. The past gazes ghost, is caressed with fatigue, eye holes glazing. Rotten gal's sweet fume is destined to swallow. Give Earth Mother the tears flood to consume. Reach with hand the celestial marrow. Empty Villages Call, a stellar scattering at a fog lair. Empty Villages Call, with ringing echoes tortures my heart. Empty Villages Call, drowsy place of the dead, temple's prayer. Mm. Empty Villages Call, it's a secret's calm guard.
So because of the Crusades or whatever, the villages were empty.
Right.
Oh gosh, I can't even imagine what that would be like to return home and it's like a ghost town because everybody.
Maybe in 100 aeons I will rush headlong through the plains, raging roar of winds. I'll return as one who eternally lives, and I will stay alive, and my shivery hand will touch the soil of the plain, and I will feel again. Mm-hmm. Empty Villages Call gnaws my soul in the embraces of night. The past gazes shade. I see in the glow of a thawed light. I see flickers of lunar dust in the forest, crowns of gray, twinkling moon, which will merge in our own bonds with the heart of the land of paternal graves. Yikes. Jeez.
Paternal means like their parents?
Their fathers.
Their fathers. So, wow.
Absalon was a Danish archbishop and statesman who was the bishop of Roxalai from 1158 to 1192 and archbishop of Lund from 1178 until his death. He was the foremost politician and church father of Denmark in the second half of the 12th century and was the closest advisor to King Vladimir of Denmark. Mm-hmm. He was a key figure in the Danish policies of territorial expansions in the Baltic Sea, Europeanization in close relationship with the Holy See, and reform in relation between the church and the public. He combined the ideals of Gregorian reform with loyal support of a strong monarchical power. So, basically, this is about Europeanization of, it's a form of ethnocentrism.
Yeah.
But you
so used, it wasn't the Christians?
Well, you used religion as a vehicle. And you see that a lot where there's Christianity and then there's culture. And the people at the top know what they're doing. But the people below don't get it. So it's like, and it's like this, like a missionary goes over and it's like, oh, these savages, you know, blah, blah, blah. And now they're saved. And then you see them in, they're dressed like us and whatever. And really dressed like white people. They're dressed like white people.
Yeah.
And that's a sign that they've, they're now
that
saved.
They're now saved,
Right?
Yeah.
It's, I was watching this, you know, this guy, he's a Christian, but not a very good one, but he's still my brother. I'm not going to disown him, but they were talking about John Chow, the Sentinelese thing, and they were talking about how the Sentinelese are there on an island by themselves. And they're basically cut off from the rest of the world. And then he said, he basically said, I don't know much about that Chow fella, because you know how they are. You know this guy I'm talking about. He's like, but we definitely do need to civilize the heathen.
Are you serious?
Well, yeah. And so it's like this confluent. But it was really interesting, which is the if you look at the American missions movement, a lot of it was really good as far as a Christian would say, getting people the message of Christ, right? But a lot of it still had that, because they're the fathers of these Europeans, they're the sons of these Europeans, they still carried with them that idea that Europeanism, or this specific form of Europeanism, comes with a package of Christianity. And so it's a combination of Christianity slash, you know, their brand of being European. Which is, you know, highly ethnocentric. And, and then when you hear, that's why people, when they talk about immigration now, people coming to this country, and you hear things about people needing to assimilate, you know, these immigrants, they need to come over here and assimilate.
What does that mean? Learn our language and become like us?
We need to learn our language, conform to our cultural norms, et cetera, et cetera.
I don't think that they should conform to our norms of whatever culture is. Like, I think they should continue to have their own culture, but at the same time, do you think they should learn the language?
Well, I think if they don't learn the language, they're at a severe disadvantage. So I think they should learn the language so that they'll have a competitive, some sort of competitive equality, because there's a lot of, the deck's already stacked against them.
Right.
But when these folks are talking about assimilating, they're talking about leaving their culture behind and all the rest of it.
So,
you know, every time I have these conversations, you know, about what Christianity has done, I was talking to one of my atheist buddies. Shout out to, well, he's not even on the channel, so he won't care. But
maybe someday he'll find.
I had a pretty in-depth conversation, and he was like, "What are you talking about?" You know, because I was like, "Oh yeah, of course I want the law of Jesus to spread across the world." He's like, "What are you talking about?" And I'm like, "The Sermon on the Mount." Turn the other cheek, love your neighbor.
Yeah.
Of course I want that all over the place. But of course, what he, and I knew what he, I was kind of playing stupid. I knew what he was talking about, which is this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, where the message of Christ is used as a vehicle to expand your territory and you know, make it so that your, a specific type of way of living becomes almost canonized, and then you know, one of the things that's interesting to me about Christianity is that if you see everybody as an image bearer
that's
of God,
what I was thinking when I was watching the video.
I think so. I know a decent amount about Islam. I don't know a lot about paganism, but a lot of paganism seems to me to be about the earth. And it seems that pagans are very, very conscious about their connection to the earth. And that's why, like, there was a particularly, you know, poignant shot in the video where he's got his hands, like, you know, in the dirt. And, you know, it just seems like, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but it just seems like there's a lot of, it's not so much I mean, I'm sure there's a theology behind it, but I think a lot of it had to do with the... And, you know, they talk about Mother Earth and...
You said something about when he folds the dirt. It said something about... And then I think it said silver. Silver was, like, close to it.
I don't know. Earth Mother...
Because I remember thinking, oh, I wonder if that was a part of the song where he was grabbing the dirt.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's...
Look up the word silver.
Lunar silver shine.
See if it's right. I don't know where it is.
But...
We'll touch... right here.
We'll touch the soil of the plain. And I will feel again.
Yeah, and I will feel again.
Yeah. Yeah, because it seems like for them, it's like being connected to the land and you know... Working the land is important to them.
Yeah. Well, if that's all you've done and that's what, you know, like, I used to have a garden and I miss, like, having my hands in the dirt and working that garden and then getting the produce from it. But that wasn't my whole life. My parents didn't have a garden. My grandmother did, but it wasn't something that I've known all my life. And if it's something that you've known and you've farmed or whatever all your life and it's part of who you are as a culture and as a people, and then you're driven away from that.
Yeah, it's really interesting because when you hear these pro-black people and they talk about slavery and things like that, and then people go, psh, that happened 400 years ago, get over it.
Yep.
And this happened even before that. This happened in the 1100s or 1600s or whatever.
Yep.
And it's, people don't understand. It's like you've been disconnected from your... fathers and your entire way of life, and then you've been forced to live in a sort of, you know, in basically the world that your enemy created.
Yeah.
And there's a lot. So it's really interesting to me that even hundreds of years later, that wound is still there for a lot of pagans when it comes to Christianity. And I completely get it. I understand it. You know, because the same people that ruined this guy's, his fathers and his ancestors are the same people that did it with mine. So it's like, I get it, you know, it's the same ideology, you know, where there was a package deal. And of course, as a Christian, so here's a conundrum that we're both in as Christians. On the one hand, I know that that's not the way of Christ. That's not the example of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason I can embrace Christianity,
you
know, in spite of the whatever, you know, this is a white man's religion, you know, but on the other hand, it's so crazy to me because if you look at the New Testament, the design, the reason that Christianity spread so quickly was because it was able to actually work within the cultural norms of the people that you were dealing with. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Paul says, hey, if you're around Jewish people, then don't eat the pork, you know, and if you're around Gentile people, eat the pork, and don't make the Gentiles do Jewish stuff, and let them be who they are as long as Christ is at the center. But there is a price to be paid if you're going to go into a place and tell them that message.
Right.
There's a price to be paid, and we saw that with, you know, Chow.
Mm.
You know, you'll get killed, and then people will mock you.
Right.
And most people don't want to do that, so they want to be the ones doing the killing. Right? So...
Yeah.
So, you know, really the pattern of Christianity is John Chow. I mean, for whatever people want to say, the dude that went to the island and willingly, you know, got himself speared to death and laid down his life in order to bring about the message.
Right.
That's the template.
Yep.
And we were doing that by the hundreds of thousands in the first century, and that's how Christianity spread, even though we were being slaughtered every other day.
Yep.
But we didn't go into other people's cultures and tell them that everything about their culture is wrong.
Right, right.
You know.
It's kind of weird because the, you know, Christianity obviously has its roots in Jewish, like, in the Jewish ways. So, like, when you look back and it was an ancient Near Eastern religion. And so it's kind of, how did, you know, here it came to the white people, and the white people took it over, and then they started forcing it upon other people. It's just kind of weird. You know what I'm saying? Stop that.
As soon as y'all got hold of it, y'all.
But isn't that kind of weird? Like, it wasn't even...
We have found you disagreeable to live with in peace.
Terrible.
No, but no, I hear you. It originally started as an ancient Near Eastern religion.
Yeah.
And Paul was able to say, well, no, if Christ is, you know, we're watching that thing with the, I forgot the name of the, it was a Bible series, I forgot what it was, AD.
AD, yeah. That was a good series.
And you know, Paul is like this Jewish guy, and, you know, Judaism has a very intricate law, and it's very focused on the temple. And there's this moment where Paul says, oh, the temple doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's about Jesus. So he goes to all these non-Jews and says, forget the temple. Just, you know.
Yeah.
But, maybe in 100 aeons I'll rush headlong through the plains, raging roar of winds. I'll return as one who eternally lives, and I'll stay alive, and my shivery hand will touch the soil, and I will feel again. Mm. You know, it's like...
It's sad.
You'll never get that culture back, you know? You'll never get that, like...
No, not to that degree.
That way of
not
life.
Not to that depth, yeah, because there's... You know, we talked about it in the video before. You lose stuff when the old is gone... Like, the older people,
right.
Like, they're the ones that were enriched by that culture. And the younger ones are just learning from the older ones. So you lose a huge amount of it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's...
That is really weird, the way you said that. Like, basically, your brother begins to look like your enemy because they become so civilized by whatever culture it is.
Yeah.
Like, that's got to be really extremely... Or even yourself, you know? Look in the mirror and you're like, I remember when I used to see the missionary pictures, the before and after, before they'd be standing there with their spears and their loincloths and stuff, and then afterwards with their American looking clothing. And I mean, I thought that it was good for the women to have shirts, because I felt like if they didn't have shirts that they were being taken advantage of, because I'm picturing my culture, you know,
right?
So but I always had a weird feeling about it. It kind of made me feel sick, especially when I would see them in, like, you remember those, like, uniforms that they would put kids in, like...
Oh, yeah.
When they put them in those uniforms, and that's a button-up shirt and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was the ones that made me feel worse. At least if it was a t-shirt, I'm like, it's still pretty comfortable, and, you know, maybe it'll serve their purpose. I mean, who knows? Maybe they drop a loincloth when they're running through the, you know, jungles, but now they don't have to worry about that, because it's... But... I always had a weird feeling about it, and I didn't know why until, you know, we had conversation about it, and then I'm like, yeah, that's really weird. You're pushing your culture on somebody else, and then, you know, making it that your culture is the best. Like, it's pretty...
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah. So, and you can't expect people... That's why when people pin the Crusades and all this on Christianity, like, I'm not mad at them.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was part of Christendom. You know, and I don't, it's, you can't expect people to make that very nuanced parsing of,
right,
this is what Jesus taught, this
oh,
is
yeah.
what,
no.
I mean, come on. Like,
yeah, you get that many people claiming that religion and doing that thing, you're going to assume that's what that religion is teaching.
Yeah, yeah.
How could you not?
So,
do you think that this might seem kind of off the subject, but you know, like when, like white people will adopt brown kids, and, like I've heard, like, you know, brown people getting, like, upset about, like, oh, they're losing their culture and stuff like that because the white people are not going to teach that to them. Or, like, if, you know, like, they're not, like, they're trying to, like, make the girl's hair white instead of sticking with what's natural to her hair. Do you think it's kind of the same thing?
Nah.
Like, the whole, you're forgetting your culture, you're losing your culture.
I think it's a lot different. You know, one is that, you know, black folk aren't crowding the orphanages to snatch up black kids.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, what are you going to say? It's better for the kid to, you know, and a lot of black folk are, that's something that it seems to me that pagans do very well. That they've, even though their culture's been taken from them, they know who they are and they know who did it. Mm-hmm. And it's talked about constantly. Now, my mother, you know, my mother introduced me to Marcus Garvey.
Yeah.
She had me read Roots. She didn't agree with the Nation of Islam stuff, but I was exposed to all that stuff because my uncle Jalal was, you know, he sat me down in the whole California raisin scene.
Mm-hmm.
It's all in blacker, you know. So I was conditioned mm-hmm. very early about who I was, where I came from, who my ancestors were, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of, you know, a lot of black folks, you know, they're just, you know, the pagans seem to do very well at connecting themselves to their fathers. We don't, not so much.
I mean, my family, I don't even know. I assume that, I've heard my parents say I have French and Indian in me, but I mean, I have no clue. And even if I am, I don't know anything about them, you know.
All you need to know is that you're disagreeable to live with in peace.
You're terrible.
And it was a very, very good song, though. I liked it a lot. What do you give it?
Oh, a 9.8.
This was a 10 for me. I really, really liked it. I'm actually a bit disappointed that there isn't some sort of English version of this, because I really, the melody is like in my head right now. And I wish, you know, that, yeah, that this is something I could listen to constantly and know what they're saying.
And honestly, the translation, you know what? I think I'll go with a 10 too, because the translation, even in the translation, it was still beautiful. Sometimes when they translate it, right, it sounds, yeah, a little choppy and weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even in the translation, I was like, wow, this is pretty. I'm like, I can't imagine what this is in its original dialect.
And the video was really good too. It's a sky, and then, you know.
What, you think it's going to get blocked?
No, I don't think it's going to get blocked. But I hope it doesn't get blocked. But the video is awesome because it's this guy and he's going through, and then, you know, this old lady dies and he has to bury her. And I'm assuming the old lady's symbolic of the old ways.
Oh, like, I thought it was just a mom.
Well, yeah, but, you know, she's like archetypical, yeah, of, you know, yeah, his ancestors and Earth Mother and all that.
Yeah, and then it looked to me like he buried her at the church or the temple or whatever. Which was also everything was gone, you know what I mean? Like, so even that in itself had,
yeah,
lost.
Symbology was really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really good. Alright. Thank you, whoever you were. Good job, patrons. Vin out.
Sorry out.
Gone.